Father, we want to ask that you would transform us through the ministry of the word today. Lord, we think about Romans 14, which we get to hear BJ preach soon. And we think about this topic of godly communication and what your word has to say about it. And we ask that you would use your word to transform your people as you promised to do. So we ask that the Holy Spirit would be very active among us as we talk, as we think about things of eternal value, eternal significance, even things of eternal significance that happen right here and now. So we just ask for your blessing on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going back to Colombia in January. There's 10 of us on the trip. And I've been telling them stories of the time that we were there in, where the BJ, Elisa, Kristen, and I were there back in February. And some of you know this story, but some of you probably don't. There was a really interesting communication glitch, and two cultures were colliding. BJ had been asking Mauro, who, if you remember from the time, he was the guy that translated for Jairo when we met them that did the Zoom call on during the summer gatherings. So Mauro was our main contact. He's also the best English speaker. So BJ had been asking Mauro, okay, so I'm preaching at your conference, at your theology conference. Would you please give me a schedule for that so that I know? I know that I'm giving four talks. Can you help me understand, when is that all going to happen? Give me a schedule. Oh, yeah, brother. Absolutely. We keep going. No schedule. We get to Colombia. He asks again. Mauro, do you think we could get a schedule so that, we can know? And no schedule's forthcoming. We go through a couple of days, and then and BJ is like, I've just got to get my talks. I mean, it's not like he had his talks prepped and written. He was going to do a little more work on them, right before. So the day of, we sit down with Mauro to talk about the conference for that night. And Mauro says, okay, brother, so tonight you have your first two talks. BJ was like, oh, I thought it was one talk tonight and three tomorrow. No, two. Oh, brother, I'm so sorry. Didn't know there's two talks tonight and two tomorrow. And BJ had actually prepped the first two, like had gotten them camera ready. So it threw him, but didn't throw him. But what we had was a failure to communicate. Then later that night, we were sitting around eating dinner at 9 o'clock, as you do, as one does. And, we're sitting down and we say, well, what time tomorrow morning? Because it was Friday, Saturday conference. We were making an assumption. When we have a Friday, Saturday conference, when do we start on Saturday? At 9. So he says, what time do you want to be to pick us up in the morning? He said, Oh, brother, the conference, Jairo, this is Jairo this time. Brother, the conference doesn't start until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, okay, all right. So just interesting how difference in communication styles and difference in communication methods, as well as things like language barriers and led to us being, pretty, gear shift. So I've been telling our team, okay, everybody, we got to be ready to move on a dime. We're going to have to, we'll be thinking we're going to go this direction, and suddenly we're going this direction, and that's going to be okay, right? And they're like, yeah. So, but communication, so critical, so necessary, but so hard, right? And even without language barriers, even without cultural barriers, even within the confines of your own marriage, right? How many of you find communication and communication-related issues just significantly complicated? And Liz is smiling at me. Because after how many years of marriage, Liz? 47 years of marriage, Tim has finally gotten it this past year. Took 47 years, right? Right, Liz? So, all right. You should have a handout. Anyone need a handout? If you need a handout, Josh will get you a handout, newly minted 22-year-old. Everyone's got one. Okay, that's great. All right, so this is a course on godly communication. What are the principles of godly communication? It's going to run through Christmas. What are our course aims? All right, to grasp the proper goal and the necessary orientation for godly communication. That's today. to understand the source of all communication, both good and bad, and how to purify that source. 3, to identify various obstacles to godly communication and learn how to address those obstacles. 4, to grow in our practical communication skills, how to listen and how to speak. To identify particular challenges for communicating in a digital age. And lastly, to grow in our ability to resolve conflict in a godly manner. Because conflict in a Romans or in a Genesis 3 world inevitably comes to pass. All right. Now at the end of our time today, I'm going to give you time to ask, like, oh, what are particular things you'd like to see us address over the course of the seminar? So hold those thoughts if you're starting. And once again, this course is going to go really well the more who talks and asks questions. No. Universal sign for no in America. No, it's going to be more effective the more you talk, the more you ask questions. The more you communicate, it's two-way communication. Okay. All right, today we're going to be looking at the goal of godly communication. Let's start with this. Why should we aspire to grow in this area of godly communication? Well, I have 4 reasons, then I want you to add yours. Number 1, good communication is vital for developing and maintaining good relational connection. What do I mean when I say relational connection? Karen.
The ability to relate well to one another.
Okay, the ability to relate well to one another. Who wants to add a layer to that? Yeah, Nikki. Okay, an awareness of what's going on in someone else's life. Okay, a goal toward one understanding one another. How do you know if you're connected? Oh, Andrew, and then the question next is, how do you know if you're well connected with somebody?
But you can have, like, transactional communication, which conveys information, but that's different than relational communication, which is actually concerned with the other person.
Okay, very important distinction there. You can have transactional communication where you're getting things done, but that's not the same thing as relational communication where you're actually concerned about the well-being of the other person. Do you understand the distinction? Right? Transactional communication, fine for getting things done, not good for maintaining and building the relationship. Okay, how can you tell how well you're connected with one another? Or what are the signs of connectedness? Okay, sometimes you know the person well enough that you can anticipate what they're going to say or how they're going to react in a situation.
Harmony.
What kind of harmony there is in the relationship? What kind of affection there is in the relationship? Classically, you can ask, you know, sometimes in a marriage counseling context, you know, BJ or I will ask, you know, husband, where would you say things are on a scale of 1 to 10? Then you turn to the wife. Wife, where would you say things are on a scale of 1 to 10? Which of those is there usually complete overlap on those two? Often not. And who's usually, broad stereotype, who's usually more in tune with how well the connection is going in the relationship? In general, the wife is. And which do I, as a pastor, tend to take as if the husband says things are running along at a 7 and the wife says they're running along at a 3, which one am I going to lean a little bit more toward? Okay, so Nikki says, and I think she's right, somewhere in the middle, because both sides are skewed, but in general, women are more attuned to how a relationship is going. But you could take that totally out of the realm of marriage. You know, I could look at BJ and say, we don't quantify it, but like, we could think about how at any given week is our relational connection. So connection is something that's not just how efficient is the relationship, it's how warm is the relationship, how free of conflict is the communication, how are you thinking about one another, how well are you thinking of each other, Joy. That's excellent. Yeah, so if you didn't hear what Joy said, she's talking about when a relational conflict arises, when you're well connected, your instinct is to think the best of the other person rather than the worst of the other person. Also, when you're well connected, how easily do relational conflicts tend to get worked out? More easily. When there's low connection in a relationship, again, whether marriage or friendship or whatever, a sibling relationship, when there's low connection, conflicts tend to take on, you know, something small takes on epic proportions. So, good communication is vital for developing and maintaining relational connection. Remember, without work, connection in relationships naturally declines. Do you buy that? Without effort, without putting in effort, over time, relational connection naturally declines. It takes work to maintain. It takes even more work to build and to grow. Without work, relational connection declines. Okay. Yeah, actually, BJ and I have to maintain this on a regular basis. I'm going to use some examples that aren't marriage-based just because I really want this class to be applicable broadly. After either BJ or I go away on vacation. I'm going on vacation this next week. When we get back, after we're away for a while, when we haven't seen each other for a while, and especially if we've been involved in a lot of transactional communication, like here's what needs to get done and we got to get it done, then we often, and often sometimes after one of us comes back from vacation, it's a time we need to just actually, you know, take part of a staff meeting and just say, how are you doing? You know, how's it going? How's ministry? How are you feel? You know, I mean, we just actually need to rebuild the relationship because that will allow us then to move forward on a good footing to be able to actually do all the things that do need to be done in the course of the week, including caring for all of you. But if he and I have a long period where all we've done is transactionally communicate, and we're not husband and wife, we're just buddies, you know, and colleagues and boss and employee, and our relational connection declines. And then it makes it harder to relate. So good communication requires that kind of effort. All right, number two, godly communication is the delivery system of love. Godly communication is the delivery system of love, or one of the main delivery systems of love. And love is, as Paul says, the goal of our instruction. Love is the telos, the end of the Christian life. It's what we're going for. So we want good, godly communication between each other in order that we can love. Pretty straightforward there. Practically, godly communication saves you a lot of pain and heartache. Ungodly communication or immature communication can create a lot of pain and heartache. I can remember when I was a young man. I was unmarried. I had a series of roommates, guys that I would live with in apartments, and I can remember one particular roommate. We got off. We got, like, globally off with one another. We were way, way not on the same wavelength. We were definitely not well connected. And we ended up, so once we were in a frame like that, little things, little tiny things became big things. And there was not any warmth really left in the relationship. And we had a commitment to one another. We were both Christians, so we were at one level committed to one another, but daily constant friction, daily constant not knowing what to say to one another, daily constant thinking the other person is unhappy with me, daily constant the other person actually being a little unhappy with you, right? So And that was actually a really hard year. That was a hard year. It was hard to live with someone who I was fundamentally off with, fundamentally kept missing each other or misfiring or tweaking one another, even though that wasn't our goal or our intention. We didn't communicate well that year. We didn't communicate in a mature way, and it caused a lot of pain and heartache. Lastly, we'll give an account to God for how we communicate. So the Lord Jesus himself says in Matthew 12, he says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now, why does he say that our words will be the means by which we'll be judged and will be condemned or justified on the basis of our words? Why do you think he is able to use words that way? Mary Margaret? Because out of the abundance, actually that's the verse right before it, I just didn't choose to read it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of our mouths, is super important, because what comes out of our mouths reveals what is within our hearts. You want to know what's inside somebody's heart? Listen to what they say. Listen to what they talk about. There is a, you know, that's sobering, right? It's sobering to think that all of our words will be evaluated by the judge on the great day. It can also be an encouragement. Our words and our communication actually provide a nice way of evaluating how we're doing in the Christian life. So if you actually are seeing yourself grow, oh my goodness, I responded to that situation much differently than I would have 5 years ago. I actually forgave that person the same day they offended me, as opposed to 2 years ago when I would have held a grudge for a week. You know, I actually restrained my tongue from reacting when that person said that to me. And you can actually, as you see yourself actually growing in these things, in communication, it can actually be an encouragement to you. I'm not the same person I was. I'm actually making progress. And that's one where all the usual rules apply. If you're like, I don't know I'm making any progress, you go to somebody that knows you well and say, hey, how would you say my communication is compared to how it was 5 years ago? Oh, yeah, I totally see you're growing in that. What other reasons do you think we should care about growing in godly communication? What other reasons should this be a high priority for us? Beautiful. It will facilitate you communicating the gospel with non-Christians, because not only will you more easily directly communicate the content, but also if your whole communication with them is godly, it will make it sweeter for them to hear the gospel from you. Corey, and then BJ. Yes, are we static beings? We are not static beings, nor is the other person. So we're needing to communicate those changes. BJ.
Yeah, so much of, piggybacking off of Polly's comment, so much of communication is learning how to listen, and like not just being on broadcast, but learning how to listen to the other person. And the better you become at understanding somebody else, the more you're going to be able to speak the gospel specific to where they are and what they're thinking. Truth of the gospel, and you arguing for evidences of the resurrection is just speak the gospel more where somebody else is actually at.
Yes, yes. If you understand one another, if you understand, especially if you're understanding a non, well, not especially, but for example, if you're understanding a non-Christian well, that will allow you to communicate what angle to go at the gospel. Elisa. Yeah, that's great. That's great. We're going to cover that more in just a minute. Yeah. All right. Any other reasons why? Carol.
Good listening promotes trust.
Oh, good. Good listening promotes relational trust. That's great. Good listening, and not listening just to respond, but listening to listen, right? You know, have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I'm listening technically in order that I can wait until they shut up so that I can say my thing? Yeah. Okay, Mom and then Nikki.
Well, we've just been learning a lot about sanctification.
We have been learning a lot about sanctification.
And this is part of it, so it should be getting better.
Yes.
Because our sanctification is...
Exactly. If this is a huge part of our sanctification, and we need to be working on our sanctification. Growth in practical holiness. Very good, hon. Nikki. Yes, how much horrible communication is out there in the world, in workplaces, in non-Christian marriages, in any number of different ways, and people are like, wait a minute, this person that I'm encountering actually is relating to me and communicating to me in a loving way. Right? That's really different. Okay, Renee, and then we'll move on. Oh, yes.
That's also something we want to address because we want to attract people with our communication, as you were talking about, not go, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, if you are a habitually poor communicator, an unloving communicator, you are not adorning the gospel in the way that for unbelievers in the way that the Lord would have us. Let's go to, you guys have already been anticipating my second point. What is the goal of godly communication? I've said it this way, and I'm actually drawing a lot, I've been significantly helped by my own mentor, Wes Pastor, who was at Christ Memorial Church and now is at Christ Transformation Church. And a lot of this material, including this definition, comes from him. Our essential goal in communication, what is the essence of the goal? It's to understand the other person so as to more effectively love that other person. The goal of godly communication is to understand the other person so as to more effectively love the other person. Now, none of you are gasping, but in a sense you should be, because that requires two significant shifts of mindset. What does it take to decide my goal in communicating is to understand you so as to love you more effectively? Corey?
That my concerns are not of the first importance.
Okay, Carol, you want to add to that? Intentionality. Okay, so communication is not
fly by the seat of my pants. I'm just going to do whatever comes naturally. Yep. But, oh, yeah, Jacob? Oh, yeah, I think that follows from not to be so worried about secondary and tertiary matters, but to be linked, you know, keyed into the, what's the main issue. Corey, I would say it just, I'd take Corey's exactly right. I'd take it a little, say it a little differently. I am not, when I'm seeking to communicate in a godly manner, my highest goal is not to be understood by you. My highest goal is not to make sure that I am understood. My highest goal is to understand. Do you see that distinction? Okay? What in our culture drives communication? Self. Which has what as the highest goal? Being understood. I need you to understand me and my needs and my wants and my opinions and my perspective. You understanding me is the goal in the relationship. Otherwise, I don't care too much about the relationship. So if you're not understanding me, that's a huge problem. And I'm likely to eject or lash out or whatever. So turning that all around and say, in my relationship with Johnny, my highest priority is for me to understand him, not for him to understand me. Now, incidentally, when Johnny's got his head screwed on straight, what is his highest goal in the relationship? In communication with me. To understand me rather than himself being understood. So we're in a competition, a godly competition with one another, right? Maybe we should develop a point system, Johnny. It's like we're both seeking to understand. Now, why does that have so much hope built into it? Why is that such a good way to do it? Anna? Yes? It's spirit-led versus self-led. We're both seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit in order that we might better love one another. Right? So, it's just a helpful diagnostic. As you think about, say, your closest 2 to 3 relationships. Am I most concerned in the course of the day with making sure I am understood, or am I most concerned with making sure I'm understanding that other person? Now, is it understanding in order to have ammunition in the relationship? No. No. Although we often treat it like that. Right? It's understanding with the aim of better loving. Understanding with the aim of the better loving. There is one other shift in orientation that requires. Oh, BJ, go ahead. Yes, that's very frequently seen.
You just need to continue to do what God would have you to do. Out of obedience to him, love the other person, and trust that God and his economy works out for us.
Yeah, and let's say it like this. Say you have, John and Joe, right? John and Joe are both believers. They're in the same church. They're working, and their goal is, and Joe is not figuring this out. And so Joe is not working on the relationship, seeking to understand John in order to understand him better. John must continue to do that. Why? Why must John continue to do the right thing? I just gave you the answer, right? Is it ever the wrong thing for you to continue to love? No. Now, I can tell what some of you may be thinking, but I need to be understood. Right? As human beings, do we have a need to be understood? We do. The question is, how does that need get met primarily for the Christian, ultimately for the Christian? How are you best and most fully understood? By God. By God. Jesus Christ understands you. And he always understands you with the goal of loving you, which allows us staying power in difficult relationships, because we can continue to pour ourselves into a relationship where the other person isn't reciprocating. As BJ said, trusting that God will take care of us. Trusting that God will take care of us. Is that easy? No. And we'll talk more about it in a future session. The other way our culture cuts against this idea that the aim of communication is to understand the other is that also means that we have to grow in not being task-oriented and efficiency-minded, but grow in being relationally oriented. What kind of culture is the American culture? Is it primarily task-oriented or primarily relationship-oriented? Task. We turned our economy around lickety-split after Pearl Harbor in order to totally turn our entire industrial section over in order to defeat Germany and Japan. We're very good at doing things like that as a culture. We're very, very good at doing, writ large. But compared to, say, Cameroon, Cambodia, Colombia, you know, the global South in general, how are those cultures oriented? They're oriented relationally. They're oriented relationally. And it doesn't mean that we have to stop being, it doesn't mean we have to stop doing tasks, but how can a task-oriented relationship compromise good communication? What have you done for me lately? And that gets very concrete. That gets very concrete. Yes. Yes, you start keeping score, Andrew.
Relating it to your last point, I think the need to be understood, we can confuse that with, I need someone to understand the content of my words. But I think what we really want is, I want to be understood as a person. And that has less to do with the content of my words and more to do with, like, me as a person being understood by you as a person.
I'm not quite following.
But I think what my heart really wants is, I want that person to know and understand me as a person.
I think I understand now.
It's the sort of relational understanding that happens.
Your hunger is actually for connection, not comprehension. If I'm relating to Andrew, I want Andrew and I to be relationally connected. That's actually what I really want, not so much does Andrew literally understand the things that I'm saying. Yeah, Nikki?
I would add to that the danger that I don't actually want somebody to understand my heart.
Sometimes that's true.
The situation and solve the situation and leave the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we go transactional because that out of self-protection. We don't want to be known. Yes, Debbie? You can listen without actually hearing. Yeah, that's very common. Very common. Okay, so we actually have to work. We've got two cultural values working against us. One's just universal sin. Just the human race has a problem. They desire to be understood more than to understand. And the other one is something that Americans especially deal with, which is we just aren't necessarily built relationally. John, I got to move on. Is it a quick one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're gonna
take a ton of time to talk about how this affects how social media. Generally, not well. All right. What is involved? Yeah, I mean, the technological revolution has changed a lot of things. It doesn't change the bedrock principles, but it does change how we act some of them out. What is involved in understanding another person? If you're seeking to understand the other person, and really, folks, that's just Philippians 2. That's just Philippians 2 saying, you know, have this attitude in yourself that was also in Christ Jesus, right? Think not of your own interests, but also that of the interests of others. Consider one another more important than yourself. It's just what the Lord Jesus did for us, and it's how we're supposed to live out with one another. Okay, if we get clear that me understanding you is the goal, what's involved in understanding? Number one is desire. You have to want to understand the other person. You have to want to understand the other person. It's very easy to try and communicate without actually having any desire to understand the other person. You're not interested in getting their perspective. You just want your perspective. You don't want to understand their perspective. You just want them to change their perspective so that it matches whose? Yours, right? Right? I don't need to understand you. I need you to be different. That got some there's some looks going around the room. And I think marriage, that's especially true, right? In marriage, it's like we're in a conflict. Rather than actually taking the time to actually understand your perspective, I just want you to just be like me. Desire. How many of you have sat next to someone or met someone, and you're like, you're trying to get to know them a little bit, and you ask them questions? And you ask them, hey, what do you do for work? And what do you kind of expect? That after that they tell you what they do for work, that they'll ask, have you ever been in a conversation with someone who it doesn't matter how many questions you ask them, they will continue to talk about themselves and they know nothing about you. You've talked for 45 minutes. They've talked for 45 minutes straight and they know nothing about you because they're not at all curious about you. They have no desire to know you. They have a lot of desire to reveal their own mind. Well, Proverbs says that that's what a fool does. A fool's not interested in understanding. A fool's just interested in revealing his own mind. So, interesting. It's interesting. We live in a culture where, you know, I'm trying to connect with an unbelieving dad on the basketball, you know, bleachers or something like that. Say again? Bleachers? Bleachers, but they have basketball. Yeah. Sideline, doesn't that mean that you're like right there? Like, I'm back here. I want to out of the action, and like, yeah, it's like, oh, all right. Well, that didn't go very far, but I know a bunch of stuff about him, and that's good. That's good because what's my main goal? To understand him. But of course, I'm hoping that it can turn around so that I can begin to reveal something about myself. At the end of the day, what is my hope? To communicate to him the gospel, which involves me revealing, right? So desire, skill. We just have to grow in our skill. We have to get better, and we're going to be talking about particular ways in order to get better at the actual bread and butter skills of listening and speaking, especially. It takes work ethic. You actually have to put in work. And I think one of the places that we can often fail in that is we fail in that with our children. We cannot think I need to put in work and effort in order to understand my children. Really, or anyone who's kind of in a socially inferior position to you, right? It can be easy to just take those relationships for granted rather than seeking understanding. I need to work hard to understand Miriam. Right? All right. And the last one that I'm thinking of is verification. So let's take Kevin. So Kevin and I are talking. He and I are talking about, say, a difficult issue on the elder board or something like that, and we're working. I'm trying to understand his perspective. I think I understand Kevin's perspective, and I think I've got it. What do I need to do? What's something I need to do to make sure that I've got it? Wes?
Try to articulate his position back to
him. I need to say, Kevin, I think this is what you're saying. Is this what you're saying? Are you saying X, Y, Z? What does that allow Kevin to do? To say yes or no. If I just assume I know what Kevin means, and I make the assumption that I presume that I am a good listener, and I presume that I'm going to do this correctly, what pitfall am I going to fall into? I'm going to assume I'm going to have lots of misunderstandings because I'm proudly going to assume I understand, right? So verification, checking, have I understood you? As opposed to assuming I have understood you. Kevin, did you have a thought?
You want to put it into your own words. You don't want to just like verbatim say back what they said.
Yeah, you want to give enough explanation so that, you know, you actually do. You're seeking to verify the understanding. All right. How does understanding facilitate love? Number one, because if our goal in communication is to understand in order to love, if we can get to understanding, how does that facilitate love? Well, it allows you to know what's needed for the individual relationship. If relationship takes work and I'm trying to figure out where do I need to put in the work, it's necessary even for me to understand in order to put in the right work. Number two, it allows you to work more effectively with different types of people, right? This has to be constantly verified, but it is generally true. If you're an introverted husband married to an extroverted wife, and you seek to understand her well, you seek to understand her and you really are understanding her well, you're doing a good job at that, that will give you helps when you're relating to another extroverted person. Right? So if you're relating well to your extroverted wife, it gives you some insight probably in how to relate to Jenna Ray or BJ, who are also extroverts. So because people, now, does that mean we can pigeonhole people? No. We constantly have to be checking because your extroverted wife and Jenna Ray and BJ are all different kinds of extroverts, and yet it does help you, so that allows you to minister to different kinds of people because you're learning. It allows you to minister to real needs, not tangential issues. It allows you to get to what is the real. If you're listening and communicating with the aim of understanding, you will actually understand what the real issue is or have an easier time understanding what the real issue is rather than saying, well, I thought it was about the toaster being broken. It's not really about the toaster being broken, is it? It's about the fact that I've been out four nights this week and I haven't had any nights with the kids, isn't it? That kind of conversation never happens in my house. But so you are listening with the aim of understanding so that you can get at the real issue rather than tangential issues and allows you to administer the appropriate help to the situation. One of the verses for pastoral ministry is admonish the unruly, help the weak, encourage the faint-hearted, be patient with all men. Well, how does a pastor know, is this a situation where admonishment is necessary or this is where encouragement or help is necessary? He needs to listen well, to understand well, so he knows how to put the appropriate effort in. Okay, we're at time. come and talk to me if you want to make be like, are we going to cover this? Make sure, please, that we cover this. I really, really, really need you to cover this. Come see me. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a communicating God, that you actually desire both to understand us, which you do, and you want us to understand and know you. Lord, help us to know you and help us to know our brothers and sisters so that we can love better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.